B-Pod Studios.
Coming up next at 10, sports talk while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Shotgun snap to Stidham. He's looking right. He fires right. Pass is intercepted behind Edelman. Picked off by the defensive back, Jamar Taylor. Another interception, his second of the day. The fourth overall for San Francisco.
I'm about to do that. Go down there and take a picture
to go
in the
fourth quarter, and the Niners celebrate another takeaway.
Try to do the things that we're going to do in the game on the practice field, try to execute them better there, and start with that. And I think if we do it on the practice field, we'll have a better chance of success in the game. That's what we'll do about it.
Josie's on a vacation far away.
Oh, we are long, long, long from the days of Josie.
You know what I was thinking, Fred, when I was watching the game this Sunday? I was like, this is the last we're going to see Tony Romo for a while.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I thought the same thing because they were playing. I did think that too. It's like,
like, you know what?
Nancy, we're no longer going to get the view of the crafts in their box with Jim Nance eloquently.
Just had dinner with RKK last night.
Yeah. You'll still get your shot of the crafts. It just won't be Nance's voice talking about
it. No, you know who we get? You know who we get this weekend? We get Ian Eagle this weekend.
Well, I like
a lot of Ian Eagle.
And by the way, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that the marquee matchup type situation.
Yeah.
Hey, and that's good news. Not a lot of flex games. So, you know, enjoy your 1 o'clock starts. This will be pretty nice.
I thought the same thing in my car yesterday. I was listening to Felger and Mez, and they played Tony Romo, who I can't stand. And I thought, you know what?
At least you're not going to get him.
As much as Nance has called every game. Yeah, now you're going to start getting the Jets crew because they're just going to move Ian Eagle up to Boston. That's right. Yeah. You're going to get – that's exactly what's going to happen. But here's the deal. Is that we had a caller who was very rude, Mike. He just yelled, shut up. And no, you shouldn't do that. No one here does that. And the thing is he's just a Patriots fan that's freaking out. And I can be honest with you, is that if you take away, I don't look at Twitter basically because I don't look at people that have parody accounts or like, you know, hey, you know, Dingleberry 420 or whatever. You don't matter to me. You're anonymous and you have your own issues to deal with. So
Dingleberry 420 is a good follow. He's got some good stuff on there.
He does. He's really into Trump. And so, which is, he's the guy. And so, you know, you people that wrap your identity and what you put on Twitter is you're of no interest to me. You're mentally ill and I don't have the time anymore. I have my own issues to work through. But if I go through people who've sat down and taken the time to email me, or people who on Instagram, which for whatever reason is much more personal than it is, maybe it's because people don't have they don't have the parody accounts as much. But those people are appreciative, at least of my angle on the Patriots, is that this is a rebuilding situation. This is not a team that's going to win a Super Bowl. Now, these, watching the product on the field against San Francisco and seeing a team that disinterested in a team that out of it, it freaked people out. And there, and then you have the if onlys and what ifs and all these things happening, which are fine to explore, but you're freaking out. And then we've had, when was the last time we've had guys in a sports conversation, not even a sports debate, a sports conversation? Yesterday we had a guy who was wigged out completely, just yelling and screaming. And then we had this Mike fella call in and he shut up this and shut up that. But it is the reality. And John, you have the information in front of you.
Yeah.
Of these dynasties. And now the Patriots gave you unheard of in professional sports.
Yes. This is the best football dynasty in history.
In history. So
in history.
But if you look at history, which we have to do, we have to look at history. What is the history, John, of these great dynasties?
First dynasty going back, if anyone listening to this program, Green Bay. Green Bay, can we all agree? Green Bay won the first two Super Bowls.
Yes.
Everyone remembers
Lombardi's
Vince Lombardi.
Green Bay, yes.
Okay.
Bart Starr.
From 1960 to 1967, Green Bay won 5 championships, including the first two Super Bowls. So that's 5 championships in 7 or 8 years. They made the playoffs in 2 of the next 25 years. They didn't get good again. We're going from 1967. They didn't get good again until Brett Favre and Mike Holmgren showed up in the early 90s. That's how long Green Bay had to suffer. Fans had to suffer before they came back. Pittsburgh Steelers, 1970s dynasty. They won four Super Bowls in 5 or 6 years.
By the way, if I can add to the Steelers, the way they got good in the first place, it was the three bricks shy of a load team, one of the most famous sports books of all time, about how inept they were. But then they had a draft, and the draft was like 16 rounds then, where they got Stallworth, Bradshaw,
Jack Ham.
They got
Blunt,
Lynn Swann, Blunt.
Yeah,
I mean they, you know, Ham, Lambert. I mean they had drafts that were just unbelievable. Okay. Hang on a second, Rich. Let him finish. So all okay, right. So that's the Steelers dynasty. What happened after that?
After that, after you know Terry Bradshaw left, and that was like 1982, 83. They didn't win another playoff game until 1994. They didn't make the. They made the playoffs once in a 7-year span. I mean, that's what happens when the dynasty is over.
And Dallas was a great team in the 70s, and then they fell apart in the 80s, and they were horrible. And it took Jimmy Johnson coming in and having a revelatory draft to get them back.
And it took the Herschel Walker
trade. And Jimmy Johnson coming in
after Roger Staubach left and Danny White took over as the quarterback from 1984 to 1991, they made the playoffs once. And then after the big Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman dynasty. I mean, Dallas went from to the year 2000 to boy, I mean, it took them a good 10 years to come back from that. And they really truly haven't come back from that. Dallas really, with Tony Romo as the quarterback, still, you know, wasn't very good. They didn't win a lot of playoff games. I mean, this is what's in front of you. This is what,
I think people
historically
know
speaking,
they don't.
I don't think so.
They don't,
Rich.
Based on phone calls and the general freak out and people going after Zolak for he was too mean during the broadcast, there's, you're right, a lot of people get it, hence the emails, and everyone, I'll bring them in tomorrow if people want. And I can read you dozens and dozens.
After this week, the one thing that you should be maddest at is that Bill Belichick is doing it wrong. Like, he's doing it wrong. Like, if you know this is a bad team, which I think we've had enough of a sample size. Definitely after this weekend, we'll have enough of a sample size. If they go and crap the bet against Buffalo, I mean, it's over. There's nothing to hope for this season. And I know Jeff said that if they win, you know, 9-7 could win the division. That leaves you in a weird spot. It truly does.
Well,
because then it's like
you're
in purgatory, which Fred, I know you think it's going to happen. But let's say they crap the bed against Buffalo. Then what you have to do is you have to root for Bill Belichick to sit Cam on the bench, put in Stidham, and sell off Gilmore. You got to root for him to do everything it takes to do what, Fred, you are saying teams need to do, and everyone knows what teams need to do, and that is get a better draft pick.
That's
why people need to be angry.
I agree.
Is because right now you have what looks like on paper a team that's just not good enough, and you have a coach that still wants to win despite the fact that the talent just isn't there, and most of that is because of his poor drafting.
It's true, but there is also this belief that if they would have kept Brady, everything would have been rosy, and it would have been inevitable anyway.
They would have put off the inevitable. And I got a guy who just tweeted me and asked me about San Francisco. I'm glad you asked. As soon as Joe Montana was gone, Steve Young took over, continued the dynasty. As soon as Young left, 1998, 1999, they made the playoffs twice in 12 years. And it wasn't until Colin Kaepernick showed up. Then Alex Smith, by the way, overall number one draft pick. And then Colin Kaepernick, when Jim Harbaugh was the head coach, that they started. I mean, there was that little renaissance. That's how Jeff Garcia's name got brought up yesterday.
Yes.
Garcia got them to the playoffs in back-to-back years. But over a 12-year span, that's all San Francisco had.
Yep.
They weren't a threat. This is what happens to dynasties. This is what your team, my team, is at the beginning of.
Dan, go ahead.
I called in yesterday, and I wasn't freaking out about the guys losing, about the Patriots losing. I was freaking out about your logic or lack thereof. Your head is so far up here that, yeah, you know what you're talking about. I wasn't yelling about the guys losing.
Okay, what were you yelling about?
I was yelling about how you were arguing with Rich you got to be bad to be good. You know, like you were talking, you tied yourself in a knot. Your argument was so flawed.
Okay.
The hardest part about getting a good team is having a good quarterback.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, we can agree, is a good quarterback, right?
Yeah, he's also 44 years old, but go ahead.
The age has nothing, like, that argument is, again, flawed. Who cares how old he is? He's killing it.
He wouldn't kill it with this Patriots team. He would be 9-7 and win the division.
But your argument is, just scrap it. We have a good quarterback. I mean, that's the hardest part in finding good talent, is the quarterback. Well, we've got that squared away, but let's just...
Brady's not the quarterback of the future. You need a quarterback of the future. You don't need Tom Brady to go 9-7 and win the division and then continue meddling, because being middling. Well, I mean, what do you do with your? I mean, you need a quarterback to win, and Tom Brady just doesn't win you a Super Bowl on this team. And the goal is to win a Super Bowl.
Why are you talking about the future? Like right now,
because this is a team
we want to.
Well, do you ask the question?
You interrupted me, Fred. You are interrupting.
Well, you asked a question. That's how conversations go. But go ahead.
But I wasn't done. But anyway.
Excuse me. Are you by any chance wearing rollerblades and carrying a giant Bruins banner right now?
He does sound like
you. You sound like Xanadu. Are you Xanadu?
No. I'm working right now. I'm working. I'm actually in the woods.
Put more lime on the body.
What are you doing exactly?
It sounds like I could find it.
Oh, man.
All right, listen, you're too upset. You're too upset. It's okay. You're too upset.
And coming from a guy who, like, daily, freaks out. I could see the veins in your throat as you
work on
some diatribe. Yeah. Our guys, we had a good thing. And like the argument of we got to be bad to be good is so crazy. It's just
where
crazy.
In the woods are you right now?
No, man.
So we know to steer clear.
Is this something that like your wife or your mom told you to do because she didn't want you waking up anyone in the house? Because you are very high pitched.
I can see this guy in a treehouse somewhere.
You can come home when you find 100 pine cones.
Right. I like this guy, but he just seems like the type of person someone says, just go out and do something. Anything. Run around in a circle.
Put the rope ladder down and ask for help.
I'm not the... Yeah, you need an outward bound thing where you support guys on belay. But
you
Dan,
call
listen.
Anytime you want.
Yeah,
I just
Dan,
want,
you're...
You're welcome
Dan,
on
you're
this
front
show.
Of the line, baby.
Oh,
you're front of the line. There's nothing wrong with you. I'll talk you through it, baby. Don't worry about it. All right. We'll be back. We got some good stuff for you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's a really good idea to be really active on Twitter. That is a one-way ticket to riches. There's no downside.
It's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Check out the show on twitch.tv. They have a whole scene going on over there with a conversation and everything. Search 98.5 The Sports Hub on the Twitch app or twitch.tv if you want to. Everyone, whenever I'm out of town or something, how do we listen to your show? Well, it's easy. Go to your app store, get 98.5 The Sports Hub. We have our own app. Listen to the shows, get the podcast, read the blogs. Rich, what do we got here?
Sorry, I've just been dealing with something odd.
At the house?
Kind of. It's been going on for like the last couple of days. So... This isn't where I want to go with this, but I'm sorry.
Well, now you've opened the door. Let's take a peek.
I've kind of opened the door. So I've been getting like these strange calls over the past several days, and someone will call and they'll ask for a name that's not me, and I'll be like, "I'm sorry, you have the wrong number," and then they'll say, "Are you sure this isn't so and so, and I'm like, no, this isn't them. Please, you know, please stop calling. And I was continuing to get these calls, and it was always the same name that I was being asked, but it was different people and different numbers. And I was started kind of scratching my head, like, what the hell's going on? Yesterday, I started getting texts, and there is a collection agency that has been using, like, somehow they have my number, but it's a different name. And finally, I put two and two together, and it looks like a distant family member of mine is trying to scam me.
Oh, man.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
How, like, distant? You don't have to be specific.
It's not anyone I see regularly.
It's not like
they sisters,
didn't come out
brothers,
of the same womb.
Nothing like that. Nothing like that. But it's somebody that I'm familiar with, and which is crazy because on top of that, I got an email from our work saying that somebody, they didn't have the name of who it was, also tried to file a fake unemployment claim using my name.
So, well, this is a shrewd criminal.
Yeah.
I mean, no red flags at all.
Now, I don't know if one is connected to the other, but it sure seems like it's all happening at once.
Of course. Richard, I'm going to take a wild guess.
Oh, my God.
I'm no Inspector Clouseau, but I'm guessing, yes.
So I finally texted the person yesterday because, I mean, it was like, you know, I saw the name and I finally put two and two together. And it was, I texted him. I said, hey, did you use my name to try to get some sort of money? I have a bunch of people trying to call me and collect, and I don't know what they're talking about. And I just got a text back. That's why I was a little distracted. And I don't want to say exactly what they said, but basically it was, oh, I used you as a reference for something. And the last thing, right before we went on the air, I put, was it a loan and did it involve money? And I have not heard back yet. Has anyone else tried to be scammed by your family? And what? And I still don't know. Like, I haven't checked my credit because that's the first thing I'm going to do as soon as we get off the air is I have to pull my credit up and to find out, like, what exactly they've been trying to do and whether or not any of it has worked and whether or not there's some sort of crazy loan or something out in my name that I don't know about.
Unfortunately, and I really do mean unfortunately, and I do really feel bad, but this smells like something that's going to be a huge pain in the ass.
Oh, you don't say. I mean, especially when you realize, and that text back confirmed that there's something off. Like, because I was hoping I was wrong. I was hoping I was wrong. I would send this text, and even if they said no, I'd still be suspicious. But that text I got back is confirming that I have a family member trying to scam me, and this is really odd because now there's all sorts of weird dynamics family wise that this is all happening, and I don't. And I don't know what kind of recourse I have on any of it, but it all happened at once. And as I said, when I got that email yesterday from work saying someone's trying to get – I guess that's a big thing too. And apparently a lot of people have been doing that lately is like these unemployment scams. And I guess it's obviously because of everything that's been going on this year. But, I mean, this is a big thing that's happening. And I think that somebody saw an in and not only tried that, but I guess because these creditors are coming after – because a creditor wouldn't come after you for unemployment because that's not a loan you pay back. That's just a payment that you get, you know, from your employer who pays most of that. So I don't know what kind of recourse I have. I don't know what kind of trouble that I could be in. I don't even know what kind of loan you could give without there being any kind of documentation that it's actually me. Like, how could they get the money? You know what I mean? I don't even know how this works.
Maybe they borrowed from Colombian drug lords.
Well, I mean, I have a feeling they wouldn't be calling me with, you know.
No, but they're very polite from what I hear. Is that, hey.
This is going to sound ridiculous, but none of you guys have ever had this happen. Anybody? Have you had this happen?
I barely have any family, and I'm serious. So I have two cousins.
A ton of family.
See, that's the same thing.
Oh, no, I have six cousins.
My family is small. Yeah, I have six cousins and an aunt and an uncle, and that's it, that are living.
Yeah, I have maybe 15 people, maybe
okay.
less. Okay. Ask Dan. Dan.
Oh, that's right. O'Brien would be the guy to talk to.
Rich, I laughed when Fred was like, I have six cousins. I'm like, I have six brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Probably, my mother was like one of 12. I have like 43 cousins.
Oh,
like 43 first cousins.
You know what's aged well is that whole birth control for Irish Catholics.
It's called natural birth control.
Really well.
Nothing, I took a class on it before I got married. It was pre-Cana class. Come on, man.
Nothing more natural than having seven kids. what a really, that's evolved well.
How many O'Briens on the beach when you throw a party?
Couple. Well, it depends on what state you're in. If you
can you imagine
adhere to the guidelines, John, from the CDC.
Before COVID. No. Can you imagine if everyone on the planet, every couple on the planet, to every two people gave birth to seven kids, the situation we'd be in?
So my mother was one of nine. I'm one of five. Yeah. One of five is a party. That's all right. I had no problem with that.
You can look at it, but look at it from a global perspective. If just everyone had, if every two people procreated seven people,
what a
mess we'd be in.
The world's population is almost 8 billion as it is, right?
There's too many people as it is.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, and with all the, like, we can't even contain a virus. Can you imagine if there were that many people? We're on top of each other as it is.
All right. I'm getting a bunch of people saying that some of this is happening to them here.
Brian is on the phone. Some of this is happening to him. Brian, go ahead, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, Rich, two quick things. First, for Dan in the woods, make sure you either shake your keys or hopefully you brought your chain whistle.
Okay, I don't hear any of that. I didn't hear any of that.
I just heard it on and off.
Ryan is a mortgage banker. He has some advice for Rich. Ryan, go ahead.
Ryan.
Okay, Ryan is not on the air.
All right. Yeah, I guess this unemployment thing is big. Like, that's everywhere. And I don't know if that's tied to what's going on. But it sounds to me as if someone's trying to get – okay, someone says, I do fraud monitoring for a local credit union. So it's possible they took out a large cash advance that has an astronomically high interest rate. Those typically don't have a credit check. Or, unfortunately, they have your Social Security number. Yeah. Oh. I mean, that's obviously what they have. They've got that, and they just ran with it.
Well, give out your Social Security number so other people can confuse the system.
But the thing is how would they get the money if it was under my name?
All right, here's Matt. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, Rich, how you doing? Hey, listen, I've been in the collection industry for years now. With regards to the loan itself, they would have to have your Social Security number and everything to do it. What probably happened is he's put you down as a reference, put your phone number down there, and then a collection agency is going to call any number that they can to try and find this guy and get the money back. So I don't think he's trying to scam you with regards to that.
Okay. So you think that it was they just put me down and this person is not paying back their loan and they're just trying to find any way, shape, or form. But the thing is they didn't ask for me. They asked for that person when they called my phone.
But they also tried to file unemployment on your behalf. Ryan, go ahead.
Hey, what's up? I'm a mortgage broker. So basically, at the end of the day, to obtain any type of loan, at least a mortgage loan, you're going to need some kind of form of ID. So unless they had access to your ID, with all this other paperwork, W-2s, your tax returns, all these different things that make up, getting approved for a loan, they wouldn't be able to pull out a loan on you. So I wouldn't worry about that they have a mortgage out in your name.
No mortgage.
I gotta check my credit like right away. I mean, that's now, like as of last night, I was kind of flipping out a little bit, and then now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, all right, now I gotta see what they've actually dug into and whether or not I'm on the hook for anything.
Oh boy, I know you, and this ain't gonna sit well with you.
No way,
you don't like this stuff. Jay, go ahead,
especially when it involves family like that. Then everything, it complicates everything.
See, that's what you need. You need a nice small family that you don't talk to. Jay, go ahead.
Hey, guys. So one common misconception is that it's difficult to get a Social Security number. They're literally less than a dollar to get online. Very, very easy. Probably the cheapest thing to get about someone is their Social Security number.
Somebody said, John from Vegas, doesn't Dan Lifshatz work in collections? Maybe he can provide some info. Or a baseball bat.
He's just the muscle.
he's the guy that shows up. He's Furio.
He's too busy coaching the Lions right now. All right, we'll come back. We'll have this audio for you. Hear the headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
You know, we've learned this year that there are going to be situations like that.
Now, back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Boy, we pumped the hell out of the weekend programming around here. If you want to follow John Wallach on Twitter, he's made the mistake of being at Ken Griffey Rules. The show run by Rich. Rich runs the Toucher and Rich Twitter and Instagram accounts. And you can follow me. I appreciate all the messages and all of the things. You can follow me at Fred Toucher on Instagram. Rich, what do we got here while you're being robbed?
All right. So if you're talking about, you know, Eric Bieniemy and guys like him and who are going to be the next big coaches, I would think at the other end of the spectrum would be the defensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys, who I believe right now is looking at a historic run with that team. I believe, didn't I read yesterday that they were the first team in NFL history to start each of their, they played six or seven games, either way, the six or seven. They're the first team to ever give up, I think, more than 20 points in the first half of a game in every game of the season.
Yeah, which that's not good.
They're not good at all. They've been horrible the entire season, and yet somehow they're still in it. In the NFC East, because that division is so bad.
Because a team from the NFC East is going to make the playoffs, obviously, and that will be at the expense of the Detroit Lions, who will have a better record.
Now, if they couldn't be a bigger laughingstock, the Dallas Cowboys, there was this incident. So yesterday, they allowed the defensive coordinator, this guy's name is Mike Nolan, they let him sit and speak to the press.
He was a head coach of San Francisco?
That sounds right. And by the way, Dallas is giving up 35 points a game.
A game. It was 20 in the first half, I think.
Far and away the worst in the league.
I'm trying to remember. Was Mike Nolan?
He sounds I seem to remember him being the head coach, and it sounds like San Francisco to me. But then again, my brain has been ravaged.
Yeah. He was. That's right. He was like early 2000s, I think he was in San Francisco. He's the defensive coordinator. And he's doing what it is.
Island of misfit coaches. All these coaches that at one time were fired.
Yep. And now they're all sitting there. He's hanging out with Mike McCarthy, and he was doing a Zoom call with reporters. Now, he was a couple minutes into the Zoom call, and he's sitting there. And at one point, his finger touches his eye. He's like rubbing his eye. Okay. Now he's doing this call. He's not doing anything else. He's not doing anything else with his hands, but he just lifts up and puts his finger near his eye. And here's what happened.
Obviously, the frustration for him as well is just, you know, look, when he misses them, I got something in my eye. Just had some Tabasco on my finger and it went in my eye. That wasn't good. Oh.
Never good.
It's terrible. Jeez. I'm sorry.
Hang on, guys. I'll be right back.
Give me 1 second.
He had to stop the Zoom call and walk away because he had Tabasco on his finger that touched his eye.
He's a pussy.
Which begs the question, how long was Tabasco on his finger? Because he was sitting there for a good 3 or 4 minutes not eating before that. And I got so much crap on my hands. Who cares?
Yeah,
how long does Tabasco last on your finger?
Screw the hand sanitizer. No washing of hands. Nope.
My dad has a friend who wears it. This is like one of these things that it's like a gag gift, like that when you don't want to give your parents anything good. But he actually wears it. He wears a holster to hold the Tabasco, because he puts Tabasco on everything. By the way, this guy's a huge pussy. Tabasco's not even hot. And I'll put it in my eye right now. In my fraternity, we did because we were wild and crazy. But when I was a pledge, we lived in Tabasco. They soaked our clothes in it. We during Hell Week, we stayed in a basement that was just shattered bottles of Tabasco.
Have you ever got Tabasco straight in your eye?
Yes,
though?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, touching it with your finger is not, it would definitely suck. It wouldn't be great. But I one time had Taco Bell, like a pack of the hot sauce, not the mild one, but the hot sauce that I was biting into. And you know how that works sometimes. It just shot straight into my eye. And that sucked. Like, that was something that shouldn't have been as painful as it was. And it was just, it sucked. For about a good, I don't know, 5 minutes, I couldn't stop rubbing my eye in the bathroom. I had to get like a wet towel to get out there. It's way worse than you think it's going to be. As a matter of fact, Steve O did a Tabasco in the eye thing. And except this was one of the hotter Tabascos. This wasn't like, ghost peppers, but it was one of the hottest ones that they make. And I have this right here. This is Steve O with Gordon Ramsay. So if you hear a British guy who likes to scream a lot and swear, you'll know that that's him. And Gordon Ramsay is watching Steve. This is like when you pour Tabasco straight in your eye, what it actually sounds like. You have it, Fred.
Okay.
No, but the temperature of the sauce.
It's plenty hot. Yeah, you want to give a little dab? What's your impression?
It's hot.
But is it tasty?
It is good.
Okay, thank you. That I'm going to isolate that clip. I'm going to sell hot sauce with that forever. Okay, here we go. I have not done this. I've done it with other brands.
Hi.
Ah! Woo! Yeah, it's in there. You know, you can get that stuff at Steve-O.com. It is also available at hotsauceforyourbutthole.com.
Medic!
Ooh.
Like having a stroke. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Man. To get a cold towel?
Cold towel sounds good.
Jesus Christ almighty. Scramble.
I wouldn't even mind a flush.
Here you go.
Yeah, cool. Thanks, bro.
I thought you were joking until I saw the whole bottle go in your eyelid.
So you're telling me that you used to pour Tabasco in your eye, Fred, and it was no big deal?
They didn't pour it directly in my eye, but I mean, I spent about 3 months of my life consistently covered in Tabasco sauce with it. And it, I mean, it was all over me. It was in my eyes. It was everywhere. So that was a torture tactic by my fraternity.
Oh, man, yeah. I mean, it sounds like a nightmare. I just love how that's the most, like, hillbilly Texas cowboy thing, is that he happened to have so much Tabasco on his finger that after 5 minutes of sitting there, it didn't get wiped off or anything, that he was able to stick it in his eye, and that ended the Zoom call after that. You can't go anywhere without having a handful of crap, which is, I'm sure that there was, like, some big chicken wing buffet or something for everybody there.
Hey, hey, is there a job for me?
No, that guy would have been in heaven.
Hey, what you got over there? If you put hot sauce on it. Hey, I've had the hot sauce.
All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Drive home with Felger and Mass this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, and as the Patriots slide into mediocrity, we are investigating here at the station where they sit in terms of the draft and the chances to rebuild and where they have to get younger. And this bears repeating. We've hit on it, but then I found the transcript of it. We all know N'Keal Harry isn't worth the first round pick. We know that that was a huge whiff, especially based on who was around him when he got taken in terms of receivers. He wasn't the best receiver on his college team.
To take a look at who was drafted after him will just make your jaw drop. Right.
Let's not do that.
I'm just saying that it's been something we've discussed, and every time we bring up his name, I just think of that list.
Yeah, it's a good list. All right, so Tracy Wolfson, during the broadcast, the CBS broadcast, N'Keal Harry obviously knocked out of the game with a head injury. She said that he had dealt with a lot of concussions as a kid. And this is Harry talking. I had a lot of concussions at a young age. This is him talking when he was a freshman at Arizona State. I had a lot of concussions at a young age. When I had those concussions, the doctor questioned whether I should be playing at that moment or whether I should ever play again. So when we were going over that, my grandma and I made a decision that I stopped playing football. That was a real tough age for me at a young age. I was just starting to play the sport. I had it played for a year or two, and then to have that taken away from me, it was real tough. Harry planned to focus on basketball, but was convinced to join the football team as a freshman. He went on to star in high school and college levels. So that is interesting. And that the Patriots not only saw that N'Keal Harry was, they looked at him and they thought that he was worth the pick based on production and his physical attributes. Pack in with that he also had a history of concussions at a young age. And if you think the Patriots aren't going back to birth, or the people that before you, I mean, the people that gave birth to you, I mean, how far back do you think they go with player research before they use a first-round pick on them? I mean, it's got to be ridiculous.
And then zygote, I think they go, like, all the way back.
Right. Yeah, they go back to when we were just spores leaving the ocean. And that leads us. So obviously, you need a deep threat receiver. You need a slot receiver because Edelman's gone. You need everything.
Need a bunch of receivers.
You need a quarterback. Your offensive line, if Tooney's going to go, but other than that, you might be set there. But
they've been drafting offensive linemen. This guy Onwenu is very good.
And can
slot in.
Then it leads us to the defense, and obviously they've drafted in the secondary, but they're going to need.
They have some young. If you believe Jonathan Jones has not played well the last couple of weeks. And he and J.C. Jackson are seen as the future. And it's a good thing, too, because the McCourty brothers are 33. Patrick Chung, who's not playing this year, is 33.
Yeah,
they had to talk him out of retirement to come back. Stephon Gilmore is 30. Lawrence Guy on the defensive line is 30. John Simon, who's a defensive lineman, is 30. They got to get younger in a lot of places.
Okay, and
Dante Hightower is going to be 31 before next year.
So there's the golden boy, as you hear here on the radio station, the guy with the flowing locks, Chase Winovich. But problem with Chase Winovich, he ain't playing. And Bill Belichick insists it's not based on his hurting his friend Jimmy Garoppolo.
Which, by the way, was a flop of drastic proportions. I mean, Winovich still shouldn't have done it. But, I mean, the way that Jimmy Garoppolo flew as if he'd been shot. He was like, when Winovich tapped him.
But if Winovich is indeed the answer for your pass rush, he played 34.4% of the defensive snaps on Sunday, a game where they struggled mightily on defense and actually could have probably used a pass rush or anything. Donald, go ahead, sir.
Hey, guys, going?
Hey.
So you're saying that, N'Keal Harry had concussions as a kid. You know, how did they not pick that up? I had a buddy who played in New Hampshire, up in New Hampshire, and got drafted unrestricted by the Ravens and ended up getting cut because they found that, he had a leg injury back when I played with him at like 10 years old. How did they not do this in N'Keal Harry?
And especially if Tracy Wolfson finds an article that was written about N'Keal Harry when he was a freshman at Arizona State, you would imagine that the Patriots, with the way they vet these guys, this is a fine-tooth comb. And, you take head injuries seriously.
The kid was a stud in New Hampshire.
Right.
And then they brought up a report a doctor's report from when he was like 13 years old.
Oh,
that he had a leg injury. And it's like, how do you, like, okay, I can see that. Okay, maybe they just, long-term, they can see a problem down the road. But how can they not? Multiple concussions as a kid is not good.
No.
It took me 2 seconds to find that article just now from 2016.
Right.
It literally took me 2 seconds to Google it, and it's at Sports 360 Arizona. And
they're around 360 degrees, all angles, baby. But I'll tell you this.
Head injuries almost prevented N'Keal Harry from ever playing football is the name of the article, and it's right there.
And it's one thing if you see a Gronkowski sitting there in the second round and you go, all right, this guy is a otherworldly physical specimen. He's capable of so much. We'll never find another guy like this. Sure, he has back problems. What if, though, we could get a couple years out of the guy? That's one thing. But what about N'Keal Harry? Did you see in terms of A, production, or B, speed or anything about him that made you go, I need to take a chance on this guy?
Wasn't he unbelievable at ASU?
He wasn't the best receiver at ASU. Let's get Lockhart on. Lockhart.
Ayuk was the best receiver at ASU.
Ayuk
right?
was the best receiver at ASU, is my. Because Lockhart hated this pick from the very beginning.
Yes.
Lockhart's hated these drafts right after they're over. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was shocked when they took him, and then all of a sudden he was the best receiver in the draft because the Patriots took him. I didn't understand it. I mean, there were very, highly touted guys in that draft, A.J. Brown, Deebo Samuels. I didn't understand it at the time, and I don't understand now.
Yeah. Now, was Ayuk better than him at Arizona State?
I don't remember, honestly.
Yeah, well, you get on that. Come on. How dare you?
No, neither of them really made a huge impact as far as stats go.
Yeah, Arizona State, but you know who coaches Arizona State? Just win the damn you play to win the game.
Herman Edwards, right?
Herman Edwards, baby. All right, let's see what N'Keal Harry did over there at Arizona State.
I thought I remembered him being really good when he was there.
Brandon Ayuk, 65 catches, about 1,200 yards and 8 touchdowns in 12 games.
All right, what did N'Keal Harry do?
I'm getting it. I'm getting
all right,
it.
Get on that.
All right. Okay, in 2018, his last year there, he had over 1,000 receiving yards.
About the same.
And 73 catches. He had like 1,100.
All right, so he was productive. Really good. He was productive at Arizona State.
Yeah, he was really good.
But Ayuk was, what kind of offense were they running there? A little run-and-shoot situation? 2,000-yard receivers?
Yeah,
Machi.
Ayuk averaged about 18 yards a catch.
Woof!
His final year at ASU.
Well, I like that. I mean, if I'm looking at the two of them, I'm going Ayuk.
Yeah, N'Keal averaged in his last year there about 15 yards a catch. That's not bad.
And Ayuk was a third rounder, Hachi Machi. All right, well, if I look at that offense and I look at those two guys, I'm thinking to myself, I'm taking the guy who's averaging 45 yards a catch. They need a deep threat like that. Boy, do they keep whiffing on deep threats.
They need a lot. I mean, how many Bethel Johnsons do you want to talk about?
But now
guys who can run, but they can't catch.
But John, now's not the time to rebuild. No. Bring it. No, they shouldn't have got rid of Brady. You need to get younger all over the field. What are you talking about? No, you don't have to take. Oh, give me a break. This team needs so much. So much. What do you think? They got four sixth-round picks. They got one second-round pick because they lost the one. They have a compensatory pick in the third round for the Brady thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. They need four drafts. They need three or four drafts where they hit at a reasonable amount.
They had that one kid, Malcolm Mitchell, who was good before he got hurt.
Yes. He was in also a reading group for the elderly.
That's correct. Oprah loved him.
All right. Very quickly, and then we have to go to the headlines. Andrew, go ahead.
Hey, I just want to say, N'Keal Harry definitely stinks, but when he was at Arizona State, there was not a world when Ayuk was better than him.
Okay.
When they were both there, Harry had 50 more catches than him.
All right, very good. There you have it. Harry was 22nd in the country in yardage his final year at Arizona State.
Okay.
So, again, I don't think that we were on the moon not recognizing N'Keal Harry.
Assuming that you get a third rounder for Brady next year, as it stands right now, a first, a second, two-thirds, three-fourths, a fifth, and a seventh. That's what the Patriots have in the next draft as we sit here today.
All right. Well, that's not enough to do anything. You got to just, you. I mean, this
three fourth-round picks, maybe you can add an extra third.
So and by the way, Ayuk wasn't the same year as Harry.
All right, whatever. It's whatever is whatever. Suffice it to say, N'Keal Harry doesn't jump off the page as someone you would take even based on that you would ignore medical conditions about. That's the point I'm trying to make.
It was a little bit of a head-scratcher, I think,
that's,
for everyone.
That's the point I'm trying to make.
It's true.
The medicals on him, it's, again, the point is he's not a Gronkowski where you go, hell, this guy's still sitting here in the second round because of his back. What if? What if? What if? N'Keal Harry's not a guy where you go, well, only imagine if we could get him. He's not like another worldly talent. All right, no commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.